I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
I've seen the sky so blue. Birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis taking your calls this morning, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Good morning, Ton.
Good morning.
Is it in Utah County this morning?
It is good. I'm at the mouth of Provo Canyon, and this morning there was no wind, which is very rare and just a beautiful day.
Beautiful day for gardening. This morning you wanted to start out with our plant of the day, which is a Royal Raindrops. What a gorgeous tree.
Yeah, Royal Raindrops crabapple is a relatively new introduction over the last 10 or 15 years. And the advantage to this tree is that any fruit that it gets, which are very small, like the size of a pea or even smaller, stick to the tree. And so the birds will just clean it off when they want to. And if any of them fall, they're so small they fall into the grass, they don't make a mess. So it has these gorgeous pink flowers in the spring, and then the rest of the year it has these burgundy leaves that just, they stay burgundy the entire summer.
Which I love, because we have so many trees that have just green leaves. It's nice to have kind of that variety in your yard.
It really is, and there's a few other trees out there that will have these burgundy-colored leaves. There's a flowering plum and Canada Red Chokecherry, but both of those trees, the Canada Red Chokecherry has a tendency to sucker all over the place around the base, and then the flowering plums are really short-lived, and so this particular tree doesn't really get a lot of root suckers, and it is very long-lived and is cold-hardy in our mountain valleys like Heber and the Cache Valley, so that it's hardy almost anywhere people would live in Utah.
The article that you've already posted on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page shows it as a small tree. How big does this tree get?
20 feet high maximum, and maybe about 15 feet wide. It'll be a little bit of an oval shape, and so it's going to work well in the front yard or the park strip or other areas that you really need a focal point, but you don't have lots of room.
So does this need full sun?
It does. Sometimes if you put a tree like this in a shady location, those leaves will go to more of a greenish burgundy, just with, they need to photosynthesize, and the red color slows them down a bit, because the green, you know, is what most things are. And so it does require that full sun to have the best color.
Right. People who listen often enough know that I love the tricolor beech, but the problem with that tree is it does have some scorching, sun scorching. What happens is, well, that doesn't happen with this one.
Oh, not at all. I grew one of these up in Logan at a community garden for, I think it's still there. It's been in for probably going on 13 or 14 years. and it looks just fine, never scorches, survives the winters, it grows in clay soils. So I've been pretty impressed with the tree.
Okay, so does it need its own drip irrigation, or what does it need as far as water?
Average amount of water. Being a crab apple is going to be more tolerant over alkaline soils and clay soil, so those are always positives. But once you get it established after a couple of years, it'll need to be deep watered every 10 days to 2 weeks, about 18 inches to 2 feet deep. Now, if it's in the lawn and the lawn is deep watered less often, that's usually just fine. And the other thing is, and this is just a general warning about trees, that you don't want to just leave those two little drippers on either side. They're fine for a couple of years, but the roots grow. And if you're just getting these two puddles of water on either side of the tree, you can actually kill the tree. And so as time goes on, if this is on its own irrigation, separate from, you know, say the lawn, the irrigation over the years is going to need to be adjusted so that it either has grid drip irrigation or something like micro emitters that will spray out, you know, 6 feet wide and maybe 10 feet in any direction so that the tree will get sufficient water.
You mentioned clay soil. Does it do well in other types of soil as well?
Sandy soil, silty soil. It does pretty well in most any soil. I planted one in a clay, salty soil. You know, it's not incredibly salty, but mm-hmm. I want to see how the tree does in soils that people would, living along the Jordan River corridor, so Harriman, Eagle Mountain, Saratoga Springs, they're using salty irrigation water in a lot of situations. When I say salty, it's relative, but I've planted it in that situation so I can observe it. And so far, you know, that's the only kind of soil I haven't tested it in yet, but it's just performed admirably in almost any soil as long as it wasn't continually drowned.
Right, and I know why you're doing that. We get so many questions from people in those areas that want to know what are the best things to plant.
It is, and this is one tree that is, as long as you can water it, is nearly foolproof as far as growing it, its beauty, it's clean, it's relatively disease-resistant. And so this is one of those that I would like to see, and I don't want to get a monoculture of these trees just everywhere, but I would really like to see a few more of them planted.
You don't want to just see this crab apple and nothing else?
Well, that we have a tendency to do that, you know, and, you know, flowering pears, for example, they do well in our soils. They have nice fall color and look pretty in the spring. Well, let's plant them everywhere, you know, entire subdivisions where the HOA requires flowering pear in the park strip. And what's going to happen when a disease hits and wipes your trees out?
Which has happened with some trees.
It has several times. And so it's just kind of a ticking time bomb. And so it's one that I wish was used more in combination with other good trees. So.
All right. And I hope people go to the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. I don't know if people haven't become friends or haven't liked that page. You provide so much great information. We've been trying to add more videos to that page, so there's always some great stuff there. And you can even message us on that page if you have questions, too.
You can. And I try to stay up with the messages. They're generally answered before or after the show. During the week, I get going 1,000 different directions, but you can message us there. And anything we discuss on the show, I try to, or Caitlin, we'll give credit where credit is due, try to keep information updated on what's being discussed or what's relevant.
I don't know. We gave Caitlin the day off, so I don't know if we should mention her or not.
Well, I thought about texting her a lot this morning.
She did so much. And Frank is filling in today. He is our producer. And we want to mention
Frank.
Anthony today, by the way, because it was Anthony's birthday this week. So happy birthday to Anthony.
Happy birthday, Anthony. And we do need to give thanks to those that aren't on the microphone, because we don't get on the air without other
people really
helping out. Anthony, Dave, when they rotate, Caitlin and others keep us going, and we really do owe them a lot of thanks.
We absolutely do. So thanks to them. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. We appreciate our listeners as well. You can also text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton taking your questions this morning. 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Our first texter of the morning is John in Roy. And Tawny wants to know, do perennials benefit from a late fall fertilizer?
Nope. They need to be let to go dormant, and fertilization spurs growth, which is what you absolutely don't want.
It's good to know. One less thing I have to do.
Correct. Save that for spring.
That's right. Next person wants to know, they have the elephant ears plant, and they want to know when to take them out of the ground and how and where do they need to store them?
They can take them out of the ground after hard frost has killed the leaves back, and they would then very carefully dig around the tubers or the bulbs, as we, I guess we'll call them. But you want to dig away from them a little bit because you don't want to damage them with your trowel or your shovel because they're very susceptible to rotting. So what you do is dig them out and then carefully just tap the dirt away, and you can rinse them. And then once you've rinsed them, just put them in a warm but not hot room for about a week. And let them sit, and you can turn them once or twice, and then that will allow the skin on the outside to harden a little bit. Then you wrap them up in newspaper or paper towels and store them in a cool basement room somewhere around 50 or 55 degrees, and then you can replant those the next spring.
They're wondering about their gladiola bulbs. What would they do with those?
They may survive. If they're along the Wasatch Front with some bark mulch over the top, they often do. But otherwise, it's about the same process. You let the leaves die back, dig them, gently clean them, let them dry for a week or so, and then store them. Larry used to recommend sawdust or potting soil that was just barely moist, or he would get a cup of water, and after you've stored all this stuff in sawdust or something, he would put the cup, nestle it like a teacup, putting teacup into there, and he'd fill it with water to keep some humidity. And then he would just check it periodically, and if it looked like it was getting low, he would carefully refill the cup. So you can try that method, but I think that just keeping them in like a fruit cellar type situation or a cool basement room wrapped up would probably be sufficient.
Yeah, that has worked for me. The water method doesn't work because I forget about it.
Yeah, and you may as well not. It's one of those things you have to set a reminder on your phone every 7 or 10 days or 2 weeks to check.
That's a good idea. Didn't even think of that. But then I have so many reminders. I don't know. The next person wants to know, they're looking at our plant of the day, the crabapple tree. They want to know again what the name of that is, and will it raise the sidewalk if planted in the parkway strip?
It should not raise the sidewalk, and it's Royal Raindrops Crabapple.
And that's how they would find it. It doesn't have another name.
It is. No. It has the Latin name. Is Malus something or another, and then the company,
the nursery would know it by.
It's going to be sold as Royal Raindrops. There's no other. Sometimes they'll try to maybe substitute a crabapple called Prairie Fire, which is also a pretty tree, but Prairie Fire's leaves kind of fade to a dark green, to where Royal Raindrops stays red the entire season, and it's a cleaner tree.
Next person wants to know, they often deadhead their flowers and save the seeds, and they want to know if the flowers have to be all the way dead or can they clip the flower and just let them dry.
Now, what's the question again? I'm a little confused.
I've actually done this. They like to deadhead their flowers and they save the seeds from the flowers.
Okay.
And what their question was, do the flowers have to be all the way dead or can they clip the flower now when it's not dead and then just let it dry?
No, they need to let it dry on the plant, is what I would say, just to be safe.
Just to be safe, I will say. If you run out of time, though, it still works with zinnias the other way.
Cool.
Okay, so one thing I knew an answer to today. Awesome. Next person wants to know, when and how do they winterize decorative grasses and lavender?
Well, the lavender, you don't want to come cut back really severely. If you, lavender is one of the only perennials that you don't cut, because if you cut it into the wood that doesn't have leaves, you've killed it. And so what you do is after it's done blooming, you can deadhead it and you give it maybe a couple of light haircuts through the summer. So, you know, midsummer, late summer, but you never want to cut more than about 20% of the foliage off of a lavender or else you'll run the risk of doing damage. And so it's very important because there's so many varieties of lavender out there to find one that's going to size up to the size you need and not cut it back severely.
I have to say, I've had my lavender plant forever, and I always forget to cut it back when I should. And so we're at this time of year, and I want to cut it back to the ground, which is absolutely not what you want to do.
Absolutely not. That's the quickest way to kill them, besides drowning them, is to cut them back really severely.
But the thing is, the other perennials, we do that with. So I understand why people, you know, end up doing that by mistake.
You almost need to consider lavender being a wimpy shrub.
Okay.
That doesn't recover from being cut to the ground. And so I've never tried this, but I've always been curious about maybe almost a modified renewal pruning system to where you maybe took 10 or 15% of the branching out toward the base and left the rest of it alone, mm-hmm. and then gave it a light haircut to maybe bring it back a little farther. But lavender develops woody stems, and if you, for some reason, if you cut them back, it just doesn't fare well.
Okay, I won't touch it till spring. What about the grasses, though? Those can be cut back to the ground, can't they?
They can. The tradition says leave them alone so you can enjoy them through the winter, but the first big hard snowstorm we get knocks them over, and they become quite difficult to cut back in the spring sometimes. And so I personally have changed my thought on this over the years, and this is just me. There's no horticultural basis, but the reason I like to cut them back in the fall is so I don't have to do it in the spring. You can also divide the grasses in the fall if they have a tendency to grow out and get a hollow in the middle. When they start to do that, you can cut them back in late October and then get a sharp shovel and divide them into three or four chunks with roots on them and then just move them and retransplant them to new spots.
Yeah, I've done this both ways. The thing with, I love to let them just stay and just enjoy the grass, but then it's such a big mess.
It is.
In the middle of winter, they're like all over the lawn, and so that's the downside side to that.
It is, and that's why I like to clean them up in the fall.
Yeah, but my gardening tips do revolve around less mess, and that's not really the best usually.
Well,
less mess, please.
I've been trying to figure out when I'm going to get out and get my garden cleaned up. I've got a couple trees to plant, and so I think we're in the same boat.
And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be back after the news.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.